Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 310, episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Thursday, October 26th, 2023.
Ooh. Hey, you know what that means?
Hey.
It's National Tennessee Day. Shout out to Memphis, Tennessee.
Our guest today coming to us from Tennessee, if we're allowed to say that. I don't know. Do you acknowledge?
I mean, is Nashville really a part of Tennessee? It's kind of the same way in that, like, if you Austin. Say somebody's from Texas, Austin is part of Texas. It's like if there was a new civil war, Tennessee would fight on one
man.
Side.
I hear that Nashville twang. I hear that twang in your voice. You're a good old boy.
Yeah, exactly. And Tennessee, a reference to the former G-Unit rapper Young Buck, who hailed from Tennessee. I think that was his moniker, Mr. Tennessee. Anyway, National Mule Day, National Mincemeat Day, and National Pumpkin Day.
Wow. So this is the one.
Yeah.
This is the one where we get all our pumpkins in. We're here. It is pumpkin season.
Yeah.
And they've got the day. So appreciate it. Also, mincemeat, I've never really... Is it just ground beef? Is that what it is?
Well, like a mint, like a traditional one will have also like fruit in it sometimes.
Mincemeat pie.
Yeah, mincemeat pie. Yeah, it's like it's to celebrate mincemeat pie.
Okay, great. Yeah. Don't care.
Could you imagine National Ground Beef Day? I mean, that, based on what we've seen, that is very
exists.
Possible.
It's
every day.
Yeah.
Every day is National Ground Chuck Day. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Just thinking about my Lambo clears away the piss pants and the sorrow till there's none when I'm here with Miles Gray and Hosnier. I just shine up my thighs and rise and say, oh, how do I get my Lambo? Gotta rise and grind to get to Lambo, come what may. Get Lambo, get Lambo, grind set to get Lambo. You're always a day away. That is courtesy of the Blake Rogers, the Blake Rogers. Ooh. Said, better hear those pipes, Jack. Sing it to the cheap seats.
Yeah.
I did my best to honor you, sir. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Miles Gray, a.k.a.
I steep my oolong in and out of mugs. With you, chamomile makes a buck. When I sell to you.
Shout out to Alicia Tees, obviously, Alicia Keys tea brand. And that
to the tune of Fallen by Alicia Keys, talking about her tees. Shout out to Fighter the Nightman on the Discord, bringing that wonderful celebrity business concept to the listener's ears.
All right. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the best-selling author of books like, oh, I don't know, John Dies at the End, Zoe Punches the Future in the Dick, and the new Zoe is Too Drunk for This Dystopia, which out now? Can we... Is it out now?
Out on Halloween, Tuesday on the Halloween. 31st, so this coming Tuesday.
Also one of the hosts of the podcast Big Feats, which, if I'm reading this Paris Review article correctly, is the only Mountain Monsters podcast officially endorsed by Big Feats. He's my former coworker at Crack.com and co-creator of the Crack podcast. Welcome back to the show, Jason Pargin!
Jason!
There are certain people listening to this who are hearing me on a podcast for the eighth time in the last week.
You're making the rounds?
Doing the tour?
To you, I apologize. I booked a total of 22 podcast appearances, and this is the last one.
Yeah.
Because they were all in the run-up to the way book promotion goes. You promote in advance. It's kind of like Christmas, how you start celebrating Christmas in August.
Yeah.
In the United States, it's kind of like that. You promote in advance to build up pre-orders. And I've been promoting for the past, I don't know, 3 years for this book. And finally, it is here. But this, in the last few weeks, I've booked basically every podcast that will have me to let people know that the book is coming. There are a lot of audiobook listeners in your audience. That is something I have learned, because I guess they see audiobooks as just another kind of podcast.
Yeah. It's like, what if this podcast taught you something?
Yeah.
What if this podcast was fact-checked and didn't have people randomly singing at the beginning of it? Well, it's all been leading up to this, Jason. Thank you for joining us. How has the 22 podcast, like, is it just a blur of podcast? Do you even know what podcast you're on right now? This isn't Rogan, right? So
the ones that are the toughest are the interviews where they want to ask me about my process and all that. They're all very nice people. Nobody is out to grill me, but that's, to me, the least interesting subject for me to discuss is myself and what goes through my mind when writing books. I realize that fans find it interesting, but I think most creative people would prefer to talk about something else, unless they are just terrible people.
Yeah,
they don't understand it, right? Like, it's hard to, like, figure out your process, or it seems boring to you, right?
Well, also, my process for writing books is not like Hunter S. Thompson. I didn't get high and go in the desert for 9 months and then go undercover with the Hell's Angels. It is
That's
a story.
To
I
me.
Just
yeah.
If I just had to came guess up what with... your process was, that was it right there. Yeah. Well, sorry, I cut you off, Miles. What were you saying?
Oh, no, I was just saying, I mean, it's talking about process, I'm sure, can be boring to you. But if it's something different, right, I think, like, for creative people, it's good to hear, or people who are aspiring to do creative work, just to even hear people demystify, to be like, yeah, there's nothing, like, really special about it. It's just something I do by expressing myself, because I feel like a lot of the times it's easy to build it up in your head. It's like, what's my mythical fucking process that's so different? And sometimes it is, like, refreshing to hear people whose work you like, just to be like, just kind of have ideas and just kind of toy with them. And yeah, it's nothing really wild like that.
Bob Dylan is the most fascinating person to hear talk about everything except, like, Bob Dylan songs. And then he becomes, like, completely incoherent. And you're just like, what the fuck is he talking about?
I thought this guy was smart.
And likewise, Quentin Tarantino, if you ask him about cinema, fascinating to listen to. Fascinating. Like, the science of cinema storytelling writing, he can talk about that stuff. He knows more. He's forgotten more than most filmmakers will ever know. If you listen to him speak on any other subject, the most insufferable man.
Yeah.
The most uninformed opinions. The most just... get him talking about screenwriting or storytelling or the history. Like, he has seen every movie.
Yeah.
It's like, let's just talk about that. But yeah.
I saw like a thing, it was probably like an old clip where people were just reading him the back of like VHS, like B movies, to see if he like could kind of figure out what the movie was.
Yeah.
And he was like, to your point, I mean, I know he like worked in a video store, and that is like a sort of a huge part of him like ingesting so much media, but it was wild how pretty accurate he was with things I had never even fucking heard of. So yeah.
I just watched a B movie recommended by him. Well, like, so he programs it. We might even talk about this a little bit later on, but he programs an entire movie theater here in Los Angeles, the New Bev. And he also like recommends this movie, My Bloody Valentine, as like a good, he said it's his favorite slasher movie. And I watched that last weekend, and it is terrible. And also, like, I highly recommend it. It's like a lot of, like, he knows what he's talking about, absolutely, when it comes to B movies.
Right.
It's a great time at the movies. Anyways, Jason, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things that we're talking about. They did elect a Speaker of the House. I don't know. Are we going to talk about that? We probably talked about it on yesterday's trending. So, but we might. Well, we'll mention it briefly.
Turns out he's a piece of crap.
Turns out, real piece of shit. Hey, speaking of real pieces of shit, this serial killer. That's right. I said it. This serial killer, the Kilgo Beach serial killer. Not a good guy. But also the cops did a, it's just like more in the deprogramming of my brain from a lifetime of being watching cop movies and shit like that. And then right. Every time I read a story about the actual investigation that ends up, you know, finding a killer or not finding a killer, it's always just like shocking incompetence on the part of the police. So I just wanted to, there's a New York Times article about the process of eventually arresting this serial killer in Long Island, near New York City, and how it happened, all of that, plenty more. But before we get to it, Jason, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Just yesterday, I searched, can a president serve from prison?
Yeah.
Because if the election was held today, not only would Donald Trump win, he would win so easily that as soon as they closed the polls, they would announce he had won. He's ahead in most of the swing states. But also, it looks like the odds are he will lose some of these court cases and possibly wind up in prison. So him winning the presidency from jail at this moment is the statistical most likely outcome. So I was trying to figure out, can you do that? And the answer is, it's never happened before, so we don't know.
Yeah. I mean, what is a, does he get like a briefing through like the plate glass and like on that phone, you know, like how do you even do that kind of shit?
See, this is what I was searching, because every article I ran into, they were digging into like the constitutional rules of, is there anything that prevents him from serving in office? And the answer is no, unless there's some possible thing that if you can claim that he rebelled against the government, that could prevent him from holding office or whatever. I was more looking at the logistics of it. Like, wouldn't he be considered incapacitated because he can't perform the functions of the head of state? He can't do those meetings. He can't do, like, that would be against all sorts of rules of his incarceration. So would you just be electing his vice president, which, again, we don't know who that is. And it's so unprecedented. Apparently, it's never been considered before.
Yeah, I remember reading things about like what would happen if he went to jail, not really talking about if it's possible that he is president from there. And a lot of people are pointing out, because you have that like lifetime Secret Service detail, the logistics like of trying to protect someone who's incarcerated, like that already becomes like murky. And a lot of people are like, maybe it would just end up being house arrest because of like that fact or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot of unanswered questions as to like mechanically how any of that works.
I think we're like picturing him in an orange jumpsuit in a prison yard, the prison yards that we've seen in movies. And I don't think there's any way that ends up happening, right? Like, they're going to come up with some modified solution where he is like, or a deferred sentence or something along those lines. But I also don't think the jail that he would go to, even if were he not elected president, would look anything like the jails that we're imagining.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, it wouldn't be like San Quentin in the Metallica video.
No.
Like, yeah.
Although I feel like he would be like, he would have a lot of credibility and, you know.
Who knows? I mean, again, that's like, that thought experiment is also wild. Like, what happens if he were to go in Gen Pop? Like, you know, the skinheads are like, hey, man, we got your back. Don't worry.
Does it go full Bullworth on us? Is that?
Yeah.
It's impossible to know. It's crazy. Yeah. So we don't spend a lot of time paying attention to polling, but just generally he underpolls. Like he doesn't perform well in as well in polls as he does in elections, and he is winning in the polls.
So, yeah,
like you're right. It's pretty like staggering. Like he's, if the election is tomorrow, and it's not like he's riding a wave of good fortune at this point. He is winning the election while being the most indicted human being in the United States. So I don't know what happens, but it does feel like we are headed towards, you know, an answer on this experiment.
Yeah, a really fucked up one for sure.
Cool country. Jason, what's something you think is overrated?
I know for a fact I have said this on previous appearances, but Twitter as a place to follow a big news story, as bad as it may have been in the past, it's now, you now can't use it for that. And I'm saying that you say, well, who still thinks that? I'm telling you, lots of people are trying to use it for that. Because following the situation in Gaza with Israel, Twitter became such a cesspool of misinformation, faked clips, faked headlines. It became, usually before, if you knew who to follow, you could sort through the garbage and track what was actually happening with a mass shooting or Ukraine or something.
Right.
That situation from the moment it happened in early October, the 7th or whenever it was, from the very start, it just became a fog of war of lies and propaganda and AI deep fakes and everything. Whatever, all of the people Elon Musk has fired from the trust and safety team, all of those moderators, all those people that he thought was constraining the freedom of speech, now with this event, not just a big event, but an emotionally charged event and a highly politicized one, this was the one that totally broke Twitter for me in terms of a place to learn information.
Right.
Because I found myself knowing less about the situation spending an hour on Twitter than if I just didn't read anything at all.
Right. Yeah. Because like on top of the lack of moderation, there's also just like just the general fog of war. And I think a lot of times we think that we can get like, you know, news from the front line in real time. And like in an environment where journalists on the ground have limited access to things. And then we're like, yeah, but it's tweeted. So this must be what's happening. There's like so many layers to sort of combat and go through that. Yeah, like it's, yeah, we were talking about this like for the last couple of weeks. It's just, it's impossible to like find solid ground on certain things.
Yeah, it's a mess. It feels like in hearing people, when you hear people interviewed who worked for Twitter prior to Elon Musk, and like they felt like they were just racing from like one crack in the dam to the other, just like barely holding it together, you know, like working around the clock to like stop disinformation. They're in a race with all these, you know, the forces of capital and the forces of, you know, just people, chaos, just wanting to like sow disinformation, discord. And, you know, they suddenly stopped. They're like, you know, it's like that. This was a around the clock pursuit just to like keep it usable, serviceable,
right?
Still with lots of disinformation, and then he just fired all of them. So yeah, it's just a deluge of bullshit at this point. Unfortunately,
that you can pay to have your signal boosted if you you know, for $8.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, that's now what filters up, but that's a very small amount to pay if you've got an agenda you want to push. And again, if you are just on there because you want to yell at people and quote tweet people and try to score points from your side and have a bunch of arguments and basically take something like the bombing of that hospital and turn it into just dunking on each other the way two sports fandoms do, then Twitter's still great for that. If you're trying to just find out what's going on, I just want to know what's going on. I want to be, I'm not on there to try to dunk on people. I want to know what has happened. Impossible. There's such a torrent of people yelling genocide at each other and just saying the most horrible things they can say. And then you've got the actual Nazis joining in.
Right.
It's like, well, I don't want to be on their side, but it's like, why am I seeing them at all?
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, Now I remember, this is the new Twitter. This is not Twitter. This is X. This right. is where for eight yeah. bucks.
You have like real neo-Nazi type people who have like the like squeaky clean avatar, and suddenly like they've become the source of news. But a lot of people are pointing out, they're like, this guy's an actual Nazi. So like, be careful what his like actual sentiments are here. Like, this sort of conveniently overlaps with his worldview. And there isn't like, he doesn't have actual care for anyone in this situation. He's just able to try and attack, you know, like the like Jewish people as a whole. And I've seen like, there's a couple accounts like that where I've been like, oh, this person's posting a lot. And then like other sort of extremist monitoring people are like, this person's a fucking Nazi. Like, just so yeah. you know, don't get your fucking news from him.
Who yeah. profits from your engagement now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because remember, that's not part of the model. So if they make right. you angry enough, like you're putting money in their pockets. Do you understand? They're getting paid for your dunks now.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So please, everyone, stop using it for that. We yeah. shouldn't be using it at all. I realize that, but
the dick jokes.
It's hard to give it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is what's something you think is underrated?
Apparently, we've been severely underrating the money making potential of movies for adults.
Right.
The Scorsese film did very well last weekend. Now, it had an incredibly high budget, but it performed very well. And obviously, this is coming off the summer when the Oppenheimer movie, a biopic of freaking Robert Oppenheimer, made nearly $1 billion worldwide, made more than any of the recent Marvel movies has made. They have clearly created a void of demand for movies for grownups. And it's because once upon a time, the narrative was, well, it's just Tom Cruise, the last movie star. He's the only one keeping it aloft. It's like, no, not really. The last right. Mission Impossible movie did not do well.
Right.
But there clearly are adults who want to go out to the theater with their families and not watch the Mario Brothers movie. They want to see something for grownups that looks good on a big screen.
Some adults wanted God to see willing. The Mario Brothers movie, okay? Laugh Mario Brothers yeah. movie.
This Chris Pratt's a awesome. Fucking genius, man. His voice how does was he fine.
Do those, how does he do those voices? He just disappears into every role.
Hey, it's me, Mario. Oh my God, Chris. You've done it again, you shapeshifter.
Yeah, it's the Oppenheimer thing is worth, like, yeah, at the time it was part of this Boppenheimer phenomenon that, yeah, I feel like we rush past the fact that a biopic of Robert Oppenheimer made almost $1 billion. That's doesn't really make sense and doesn't cohere to any form of Hollywood logic, you know?
Right.
It's just because it's Nolan and when you have a filmmaker, but like when Stanley Kubrick was making movies, like people weren't rushing out to see them like it was a blockbuster, you know? Like this feels like it's a new phenomenon that we haven't really seen. Like a director who anything he puts out is just like, that's gonna make $1 billion. And it can be like a dry ass, you know, look at, and not that this was like a dry, boring movie, but it's pretty remarkable. And very adult of us, and I must compliment we the movie going public. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Cause Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back.
We're back.
As we covered yesterday's trending, we do have a Speaker of the House. Guy's kind of boring. You need to be a seditionist to...
He's kind of boring. He's tied to, like, hate groups.
Yeah,
he's kind of like a transphobic, homophobic bigot.
Yeah.
You know, he said marijuana is a gateway drug. Anyway, yeah. That's, again, run-of-the-mill stuff. I think we should be surprised.
Creationist belief. Yeah. Doesn't believe in evolution.
Yeah. And then I feel like the night before when people were like asking questions like, hey, did you like, you know, you voted against certifying the election that the like all the Republicans were like, boo, stop bringing up fucking reality.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good taste of things to come.
But it feels like they've done this more out of embarrassment and exhaustion than anything else. Like, and they've just like, all right, we got to get behind somebody. And because of the way that, I don't know, group dynamics work, like the people further to the right are the ones who break through at that part. Like just full boat MAGA guy is the one they all cohere behind.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure the death threats helped.
Yeah. The Jim Jordan death threats or there's more like death threats.
Once people were like, oh, I'm getting like people are calling my wife and threatening us because I voted against Jim Jordan. I'm sure that probably helped too to have people fall in line at some point. But yeah.
Yeah.
But here we are.
Ultimately, like the principled moderate Republicans, like those are the principles that seem to wear down first because they don't actually care about them, I feel like. But yeah, as we talked about yesterday, this guy's like real extremist piece of shit masquerading as a boring guy with glasses. So I think that's how they got away with it. They were like, he looks like kind of a normal boring guy, right?
Nah, oh no, oh no.
Yeah.
This is how he looks.
Yeah, plot twist that I'm rooting for is that sometime in the next few months, a court somewhere will rule that, in fact, Donald Trump did win the 2020 election. He has been president this whole time and therefore is ineligible to run in 2024.
Wow.
Because that would be a third term. So you're right. We agree. Finally, we've come around. You're right.
Yeah. They just pull the chair on him like that term in basketball when you're guarding someone in the post and then you just like... get out of their way and they fall backwards. Like they're just like,
you are
actually, yeah, no, you're right. He won. And we're good here.
Little political Aikido there. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to talk about this New York Times article about the Gilgo Beach serial killer. It's a long read that was in the paper, I guess about a week ago, but it ties into something that we were talking about, I guess, on Monday's episode, because I recently rewatched the movie Zodiac, and seeing it again, like, I didn't realize how old that movie was. Like, that movie came out, like, you know, 2006, 2007, like, forever ago. And the first time I saw it, it was, like, in theaters, and I hadn't, like, we did a bunch of Cracked articles on like police incompetence and like the, you know, pseudoscience of police science and stuff like that. And I don't think we had done those. I don't think I had done that research when that movie first came out, and just like seeing it again with through those eyes, it's like the story of like they catch the Zodiac killer pretty early on in the movie. Like there's just a lead suspect who there's no explanation for all the, like he like described the killings to somebody like a year before they happened. And, like was like, yeah, I'm going to call myself Zodiac killer and like kill all these people and then send letters to the media. You know, he's just like the most guilty anyone's ever been. But then because of bullshit police science, they rule him out. And then he eventually, like, they ask the only eyewitness to the Zodiac killer, like who he shot and almost killed, like to identify it. And they're like, oh yeah, no, it's the guy who said he was going to be the Zodiac killer. That's him. That's the last time I saw him. He was Zodiac killing me. But anyways, so I was in that mind frame when I reading this New York Times article about this serial killer who was on the loose in Long Island for a long time. And first of all, like one of the leads of the investigation, like I think he's like the DA or maybe he's the chief of police. His last name's Spoda. And he is the closest I've ever seen a real human being come to embodying the mayor from Jaws. Like he keeps having press conferences where he's like insisting that there's no reason to believe this is a serial killer.
Right.
And not just like their beach is like a dumping ground for multiple killers. And so, like, don't get your panties in a bunch. It's just, like, people like to dump bodies here. You don't know that it's the same person.
Yeah. Wasn't he getting defensive, like, when the feds were like, hey, a new angle. It ain't here. It's like,
yes.
What?
Yes. So the feds keep coming in. Like, the FBI keeps coming in and being like, we want to help you because you have a serial killer. Like, and
right.
We have access to technology you don't have access to. Like, we've been tracking cell phone data from the nights of the killings, and we've got, like, the killer was using a burner phone to interact with the people who he would then murder, sex workers, like, who he was hiring on Craigslist. And they were like, but what we can do is we can take, like, any calls that were hit those same cell towers, like, around the same time as the burner. Like, if he then switched from burner to his other phone, like, we can just do that and cross-reference that and, like, you know.
Find him pretty quick.
probably find your killer fairly quickly. And the Spoda guy is like, this is our town! I say get the fuck out of here! All right? Like, he's like, that's a fishing expedition. He's just...
Right.
Doesn't... He refuses to accept the help because he is running, like, one of the most corrupt police forces in the world. Like, it's just crazy. So he doesn't want outside eyes in. And so, I don't know, in one instance, they go to the house of the last victim, like a woman whose body they found. And they interview the people who she was living with. And they're like, yeah, no, we saw the guy. Like, he has a green Chevy Avalanche with a custom door that's, like, not normal on green Chevy Avalanche. Also, he's 6'4".
Okay.
He's a white guy with, like, big bushy hair. And, like, he lives close by to where they are doing this interview. But they, like, run a check in a database and it doesn't immediately find the car and they give up that lead. Like... It's a rare car, a very rare color of car, and he's 6'4".
Like, right.
And they just don't do anything with it. They just don't fucking do anything. It's over and over. It's just like, oh, you could have saved so many lives. You could have just done that. Like, it's very basic human, like, problem solving that they just refuse to do. Either because they're, like, wildly incompetent, like, illogically, unexpectedly, like, I didn't know people came that incompetent, or they're like, they just like don't want to solve it because they don't want attention, or I don't know. But there's all sorts of shit just throughout this article. It's really worth a read. I'll link off to it in the footnotes.
Footnotes.
Okay. As somebody who is a fan of true crime podcasts, I'm telling you, this is every serial killer case.
True crime, I think, is at least partially popular because it's the first like genre that just gets at the reality that we've all been living with, that like the police like are not going to help you.
Like on that show Mindhunter on Netflix, they made Edmund Kemper famous, the 6'9" serial killer with the mustache.
Right.
The way Edmund Kemper got caught, he called the local cops and said, "I'm the serial killer. Yeah. I can't stop myself. I just killed my mother." They hung up on him. They thought it was a prank.
Nice try, buddy.
He had to call them back because they knew him. It was a small town. Like, they knew Ed Kemper. He was known to the cops. He called back and said, "No, listen, this is not a joke. I've just killed my mother. If you come by, you can see her corpse to prove I'm telling you the truth." And only then did they reluctantly believe him. The most prolific killer in American history is a guy named Samuel Little. He's killed at least 60 people. He claims it was closer to 100. He was arrested because he went to a homeless shelter, and they, I guess when homeless people check in, they run their names to see if they've got any drug warrants, because why not just go ahead and arrest them if you got them there? And yeah, he popped for some old drug warrants. They picked him up for that, and then only then ran his DNA. It's like, oh, this guy killed 60 people.
Oh, right. It's you.
He's the guy DNA we've been looking for in those 60 open murder cases.
Everything we like to believe about, you know, these CSI shows, and they've got the hologram that recreates the victim's skull and all of that. Like, that technology stuff exists, but there's incentive that it's hard to get into it here, but local police do not want to believe they've got a serial killer. Like, you would think they'd be eager to, it's like, oh my gosh, we've caught the Gold State Strangler or whatever. Like, we're going to be famous. I'm going to get a book deal. That's not how it works. They are so reluctant to acknowledge it. And I think that there's bureaucratic reasons for it. Like, a bunch of open cases all fall in their lap, and now it's like their problem. And also, serial murders are almost impossible to solve because the vast majority of murders, it's somebody killing somebody they know. It's a guy killing his wife or his lover or something like that. If you have a killer who's just killing because of some obsession, and they're killing strangers or sex workers, almost impossible to catch them. So they never want to admit or even believe that's what it is. But Jack, one of the things we covered on Cracked was at one point Jeffrey Dahmer, one of his victims escaped.
Right.
A man who he had drilled a hole in his skull to lobotomize him with acid. He was walking naked down the street. The neighbors called and said, "Hey, this guy is walking naked on the street. I think he came from this Jeff Dahmer's apartment. I think they're gay. It's his gay lover." The cops picked up the naked man, took him back to Jeffrey Dahmer's apartment, noted that it smelled like rotten meat, and said, "Hey, this guy got out. Here's your boyfriend back." And then chuckled because, like, oh, they're gay. Who knows what weird gay. The guy was bleeding from his head.
Yeah.
And they walked out. And both those guys not only are still police officers, but they were later promoted and are very successful.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when the victim is someone that is easy for the police and the mainstream media to other, like, you know, sex workers in the case of the Gilgo Beach killings, or, you know, in the case of the Dahmer thing, you know, someone who's gay, and they're like, oh, they just must be into weird things. But it's pretty like they just don't want to do the work. On the one hand, it's easy to identify with, like, that of just like, oh my god, I just got so much more work. But there's got to be a way to set up the incentive structure so that people aren't just like, the police aren't hiding the fact that there's a serial killer happening, you know?
Right. Yeah. It feels like cops sort of think that, like, people don't understand how anything works. So they're like, yeah, we're on the case. It's like, we're ignoring leads. We don't know what the fuck's going on. And are sort of, and only now, like, as more and more people sort of observe and analyze how sort of these cases work, they're like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Like, every case is a fuck up, it feels like, or you guys pressing it to be like the wrongfully convicting someone just so you can be like, all right, wrap that one up. That's a successful caller. Moving on. Let's keep the numbers up. But yeah, it's wild because like what they got him. They got this Gilgo Beach guy because like they got a pizza box and got the DNA off like the crust. Right.
Yeah. They eventually made it a priority after they got there were multiple people like the chief of police for a long period during when the case was going unsolved and really like uninvestigated. It was like multiple people's part-time job, but nobody was like there was no full-time task force looking into it. Was this guy who started out as a 14-year-old who lied on behalf of like who was a witness to a crime that the police needed a witness for. And so people think like he just would lie for the police, like starting at age 14, and he became this more powerful guy's kind of stooge. And then there's like this long period of the case where he's like using the police force to investigate like an ex-girlfriend and like harass her exes and like her son. And then he like beats a witness for like touching a bag that he has that's full of porn. And then like spends all his time like engaging in a year-long cover up while failing to follow up on like the obvious leads in this case, in this serial killer case. And there's like a serial killer stalking his community and his jurisdiction. And he's too busy like engaging in a cover up. So eventually those two get taken down, and then like a single competent person is able to like come in and basically they find all of this evidence in boxes, not digitized. They send it down to Quantico. It gets digitized and they're like, oh, we just need to like find this green Chevy Avalanche.
Yeah. Wait, this 6'4 guy with the bushy hair?
Yeah, here's the 6'4 guy with bushy hair who's like where the cell phone records were. Like he worked, they knew the guy worked in Midtown Manhattan and lived in this like small area on Long Island, and he fit that description. And so after following, he was like an avid hunter. One of the things, like all the bodies were wrapped in this burlap that suggested that the person was a hunter. They like pulled hunting licenses and then like forgot to follow up on it. This guy was a hunter who had 97 registered guns. And yeah, once they looked at the evidence, they were like, oh, this is the fifth thing we have pointing to this guy who's like obviously the killer. And then they ran a DNA test.
All right, look at his search history. Let's see if it's really the guy. Oh, he's Googling Gilgo Beach serial killer a bunch and the victims. Yeah, truly. Like I saw that part too. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It could be this guy. Might be this guy, actually.
And then like all the killings happened when his wife would leave town. They like synced up with his wife would like go on a vacation and then the serial killing would happen.
Who would have thought?
Crazy story. We'll link off to it in the footnotes. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back.
We're back.
Miles, your alma mater is doing the Lord's work and asking teens.
Asking teens,
what are you horny for?
What are you horny for, y'all young adults? This cohort, age cohort from 10 to 24, what are y'all into? And the results are not too surprising given what we know about loneliness and the lack of originality in Hollywood. Nearly half of these respondents, like this is the annual Teens and Screens report.
From UCLA.
Yeah, thank you so much, go Bruins. Nearly half of the respondents said that sex and romance are too prominent in the media they're consuming. Over half said they want to see shows and movies that are centered around friendships and platonic relationships. They are definitely, they're not interested in shows where they feel the message is like, you need to be in a relationship to be happy, or predictable plots. Like, the man and the woman get together at the end, and they damn sure are not into love triangles. They feel like that shit is so tired. And I'd imagine, presumably, that's from watching a fuck ton of Twilight and Hunger Games and being like, okay, bro, like, we get it. Like, there's fucking just these love triangles power everything. And another really interesting thing was, like, last year's report, I remember we talked about this. They wanted to see, and this was this again, what I think was sort of translated to when people said they want to see lives unlike my own, like shows like in that category, they're like, oh, more diversity. Like they want to see diverse stories, which is true. But now this year, they're also saying we want shows that are showing me lives like my own, or movies like my own that show lives like my own, where it's not the sort of like sensationalized hyper romance shit. There's this one psychologist at UCLA who's working on it, who's just saying that like the results are part of, quote, there's been a wide ranging discourse among teens about the meaning of community in the aftermath of COVID-19 and the isolation that came with it. Teens are looking to media as a third place where they can connect and have a sense of belonging. And with frightening headlines about climate change, pandemics, and global destabilization, it makes sense they are gravitating towards what's most familiar in those spaces. Mm-hmm. So the message, like, overall, too, is they're saying knock off the romantic BS, show us real life, and they're fucking done with remakes and reboots. Like,
yeah.
Originality, please.
Not wanting the romance is just so different from what I grew up with. It's just like the media I grew up with. If a male character and a female character, like, you know, if two characters were friends, people were like, why are they just friends?
Yeah.
Like, why it became a will they, won't they, you know, like, why am I not watching them make out with each other if they are a man and a woman? And there was usually an answer, you know, the answer was usually like, because they're building sexual tension, or because Ralph Macchio is 45 years old in Karate Kid 3 and the love interest is like 16 and he was like, this is weird. But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting that like this feels like a huge shift in how people kind of think about the stories that they consume.
If you take anyone under the age of, say, 40, and have them watch any selection of 80s action movies or comedies, they are stunned by the amount of casual nudity in those movies. Like, they used to find any excuse for the women to pop their boobs out.
Yeah.
Any excuse. This was the trend well into the 90s.
Right.
But the movies I grew up with, like it was a whole thing. It wasn't like these are specifically sex movies or horny movies. It's just a comedy, any teen comedy, especially I think set in high school, college, you were going to see 30 to 40 pairs of boobs in the course of the movie. Movies are so chaste now. Like the Mission Impossible movies, you know, but one of the biggest action franchises right now, like Tom Cruise doesn't hang dong in that. He doesn't whip out his dick at any point. That equivalent franchise, I feel like you would have seen if it was Stallone. Like Stallone gets naked in Demolition Man.
Hell yeah. He
finds an excuse. There's a cut of the movie with his penis in it. Just straight up his dick in the movie. And so it's weird.
And there's a whole scene of it where he like immediately has to figure out how to fuck like his partner. Like his professional partner. They're like, well, and now we have sex with each other, obviously.
The movie hints is his daughter in the opening scenes, because the whole thing is he goes to the future. It's like, where's my daughter? And it turned out they cut that scene from the movie. Because in the director's cut, whatever, he meets his daughter in that underground community. So everybody thought, oh, Sandra Bullock is his daughter. That's going to be the twist. That's why she's so into the 80s and shares his personality. Dropped and then they, it's like, oh, they're going to start boning. And anyway, the point being, it is very weird to see how clean movies are now. But of course, we did not have pornography in the 80s. You couldn't get it. Like you would have to go to the counter at like a gas station and buy it, and they wouldn't sell it to you. So you had to have an older relative who had a stash they would show you. Otherwise, this was your only chance to see anything like that. Where now porn is so ubiquitous that it's hard to avoid. Like it's hard to avoid on a platform like TikTok or Instagram accounts that are just, they're there to feed you into an OnlyFans account, like they're sex workers, which is fine, but it's hard to avoid. Like if you don't want that on your Instagram, it's hard to get rid of it.
Yeah.
So I can see now it's fascinating to actually hear teenagers, which are, you know, allegedly the horniest of the population, say, no, I want movies that are about some other kind of relationship. I don't want everything to be about sex or about will these two people have sex. When, it used to be in an action movie, like the guy had to get the girl at the end.
Right. And it's like, in the same way, it's like, oh man, it's like, I don't have access to porn, so I watch these movies. It's like, I feel alone and isolated. So that's like the new commodity. So can the things I consume contain that thing that I'm yearning for, which is some kind of like sincere portrayal of friendship rather than
we used to have like, hey, you gotta bone the friendship. Girl. Yeah,
right.
You just had like you were constantly interacting with people, and you know, maybe more than you would like in my case as an introvert. But like, you know, you constantly like that wasn't the commodity. The porn was
right.
You had to go to the woods to find the porn.
Exactly. Yeah, there was some Ziploc bag with a couple magazines, so it'd be okay in the rain.
Yeah, that was by the way the thing that one of the reasons that the police chief beat up. So somebody was, they like opened up his party bag in the Gilgo Beach killing, which was just a bag full of porn. He just had a bag full of porn and he like beat the shit out of somebody for opening it. And then that was like kicked off his whole cover up thing. But yeah, I mean, one of my favorite movies as a kid, Die Hard, has a moment where like Bruce Willis, like it has multiple like people just like getting pulled, like when the terrorists come, they get like pulled out of an office and they're like, a woman is topless and they're like in the middle of having sex. And then like, wow, they were like, that's not enough nudity. When Bruce Willis is running away and like hiding from the terrorists, he's going to see a naked woman. I think it's like a magazine pinup, and like out loud, actively decide not to jack off during this terrorist situation. He's like, nah, ladies, I can't do it.
Not can't right
do
now.
It right now. God Not word. Right now. Like, it was just such a thing. Everyone was so horny. It was just like popping through the surface.
Right. But I think there's also too, right? Like we were talking about this, I think yesterday, about just how younger people are more informed now and they're much savvier. So they sense bullshit a lot quicker than like I would as like a 13-year-old and things like that. So like authenticity is like the real thing that they're like looking for, because it feels like everything around them is just some weird fake vaporware version of like real life. And Like, so then they talk about too, like for them, and I know Jason, you talked about this maybe one of the last times you came on, was just how everyone's on TikTok. And now all those kids that are on there, like, this is actually the most authentic media platform for us, because I'd rather just see someone work their shift at McDonald's or something and share that versus some like hyper overly produced, like big budget YouTube video or something like that. But yeah, it's, I think it's a good trend. And I hope that, you know, we'll see if Hollywood gets that message where they're like, they don't like things based on comic books or video games that their parents liked. Huh? Okay. Maybe we'll make something original now, but we'll see. We'll see. TBD.
I do think that it's interesting that part of the fantasy is watching friends, like the whole idea of if you've lost a lot of real life friendships, now that is a fantasy to engage in. Is like, what if somebody had a gang of friends and that they find that as a form of pornography, because it's like, this is something I can watch and imagine myself. What if I had all of those friends? You know, I watch Stranger Things, a show about loners and losers, but this group of loners and losers have 11 friends.
Right.
They could form an entire football team if they wanted. <It's>
like, yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny, Stranger Things was listed as one of like their like top series for this group of people, because again, they, despite the romantic tension that exists here and there, they're like, oh, yeah, we like that. That and the Summer I Turned Pretty was another one that got high marks from them.
Is that not a, I would have assumed that was like a romantic bit, like a show about romances, but it's just a show about friendships, basically.
Well, you know, it's funny because it is about a love triangle.
Oh, okay.
But it's, I think, because it's more talking about, like, I think for younger audiences, they just like that it's like this high school thing that sort right. of feels a
like
little
a
bit,
crush triangle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I also think that the content that has been very popular for a while has already been reflecting this. I think part of Nolan's popularity is that he is an incredibly sexless director. I've talked about that before, like that Oppenheimer was like his attempt to like make a sexy movie, but like all the yeah. sex scenes were like very weird and felt alien and
yeah,
like just
from
isolated.
Someone who has never been intimate with another
yeah.
person.
Yeah.
Didn't know
or
how
just
to
like isn't
that.
Comfortable with it. And like, I think that's also true of the superhero movies that were like incredibly dominant for a long time. Like the Avengers movie, like the one love, like relationship with like Black Widow. Was it Black Widow and Hulk had a relationship at some point in there?
Have not seen those movies.
Maybe some fan art.
Victor came in with the facts. Yeah. Producer Victor. Yep, it was them.
Like they had a graphic sex scene. Is that right? Oh, no. Yeah, you're right. That's just the fan art that I
yeah.
ordered.
It's the AI stuff you've been making.
Yeah, yeah. But no, but that part also like jumped out to me. It's like, God, this feels really weird and like forced. So like I feel like the art has also like been reflecting this for a while, and people are just, you know, we're just now like catching up to it. That like
right.
people want content that doesn't have sex in it, or like doesn't have this like sexuality,
or just the message that's the most important thing, or that's how people connect, is like that they have to have sex so now the characters can like open up to each other or something,
right?
You know, like versus yeah, sometimes you can just like be friends with people, because I feel for sure like, you know, like there's like so many men have like an inability to have like platonic relationships a lot of the time with women, and I think a lot of that can be reinforced from like a lifetime or your adolescence, like watching content that's like, yeah, the man and the woman have to get together.
Yeah.
And that's those are the only options.
You're a failure otherwise.
Right,
exactly. She's taking advantage of you if she doesn't give you sex, and if you are yeah. merely friends and you're a dope.
Yeah. Right. And we're seeing that like metastasized into these other sort of like, you know, movements or subcultures where it's sort of built on this like expectation of like, but this is what I've been sold for my whole life.
Yeah. And I like looking at 70s movies and 80s movies now, like I find it a little weird how casually everyone was having sex with one another, and that was just like a way, like it was like, come on, man, why are you so uptight? And like everybody. I don't know. Like, and I guess I kind of always did, but I was just assuming that was like what it was like to be an adult. But I do think it's interesting that like from that era of like the 70s, we've gotten like less and less what some people would call progressive. But like, I don't know. I feel like this is a long continuum that's been happening, and it's not just that like porn's everywhere now. I think also things were like a little weird, and like during the 70s, like some of the, I feel like the male gaze was just like so dominant that it like kind of got a little bit out of hand.
Again, like I think it's just how the growth or the difference is generationally. Like again, these younger kids, they know more sooner and they know a lot more. And you look at 80s movies and stuff, it's like consent isn't even a concept that exists in those. It's more like, yo, that guy snuck in on those ladies changing and got to see boobs. He's fucking cool. And you're like, what the fuck is that? What's that saying? Or like you see, because sometimes I've seen on TikTok where like younger people are like looking at these movies and like, what the fuck was wrong with you guys? Like, what is this scene? And you're like, you're right. I don't know.
Did you watch me changing, Cameron? That's okay. All right. Moving along. Ferris Bueller's Day.
It's like if the events of Revenge of the Nerds actually occurred, it would be an international news story today. It would be,
Jesus Christ.
They would be talking about it from the floor of Congress.
Yeah. I just watched one of the movies in that New Beverly Quentin Tarantino movie theater double feature was this like Clint Eastwood, like police drama serial killer thing. But like he spends the movie investigating like this serial killer who keeps killing sex workers in New Orleans, but like also having sex with the sex workers. And it's clear that like Jesus the Christ. Serial killer is targeting the ones that he has sex with, and he just like doesn't stop. And there's not really like consequences for it. It's just like, yeah, well, that's what a man does.
Right. He's like, but I killed the other guy though.
Right.
And it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Great lesson.
Anyways, Jason Pargin, what a pleasure having you on the show. As always, where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
So the book that is coming out in a few days is called Zoe Is Too Drunk for This Dystopia. It is the third book in the Zoe Ash series. The first one is called Futuristic Violence and Fancy Suits. The second is called Zoe Punches the Future in the Dick. Those first two are up on Kindle Unlimited for free if you've got that. Otherwise, you could probably find very inexpensive copies of it somewhere.
Amazing.
I am on TikTok at Jason K. Pargin. I have 330,000 followers on there now.
Ooh, wow.
With that same username, I'm on most other platforms if you're not on TikTok. I'm not saying you should or shouldn't be. That's just where the people are, it appears.
It's just where the action is, baby. And is there a work of media or a tweet that you've been enjoying?
I got this tweet here where a guy has said, this New Jersey rest stop has a virtual Bon Jovi. We live in an era of wonders and miracles, and it has a video clip of they have a full body screen / hologram of a John Bon Jovi you can interact with as the ambassador of the state of New Jersey, I guess. And yeah, this is what technology has given us.
Yeah. And it's a virtual John Bon Jovi in the sense of like how he's like standing awkwardly and like smiles at you and then like unfolds his arms and kind of gives you a head nod, but like doesn't really know what to do with his hand. Like it's exactly what John Bon Jovi would be doing if he was in a box there and they were like, just hang out, John Bon Jovi. It's such a weird. Yeah. They're just like, we have John Bon Jovi in a box, life size. And this is what it's like. This is what.
How you doing, exactly, bro? You good?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That is.
You taking a poo? You doing a number one or number two? All right, man.
All right, then.
Take care.
Yeah.
Welcome to New Jersey.
Yeah, the Garden State, my man.
Miles, where can people find you? What's the work of media you've been enjoying?
At Miles of Gray, wherever they got the at symbols. Find us on the basketball podcast. Miles and Jack got mad boosties. The NBA season kicked off. The Lakers are right back where they ended the last season, losing to the Nuggets. It was a sight to see. And also find me on 420 Day Fiancé, where I talk about 90 Day Fiancé and The Good Thief, which is true crime, but without killing, talking about the Greek Robin Hood, who was robbing the rich and giving it away. A tweet I like is from at W-R-Y-O-T-E. Maybe it's Ryote. And it's a graphic. It says, like, I don't know if you've heard this story about the javelinas that are like these pig-like animals that have been like fucking up golf courses in Arizona. And people are like, yeah, why are they doing this? It's like, because you shouldn't have a fucking golf course in the desert, asshole. Yeah. And they're looking for water. And the tweet has like a nice info or like a graphic, like a cartoon of these animals like biting, like breaking in half golf clubs. And it says, no place for golf in the desert. Yeah, as an Angelino, I very strongly believe that. Fuck these golf courses, or make them parks for people to fucking enjoy.
Yes.
I'm sorry. And I'm just getting word in the chat from Super Producer Catherine that I am completely fucking up the pronunciation. Is actually Javelina. Mr. Javelina, Mr. Bob Javelina. Okay.
Yes. Tweets I've been enjoying. Noah Garfinkel tweeted, pretty wild that the Greeks pioneered drama and went straight to guy killed his dad and slept with his mom, completely skipping past dog can play sports and goofy neighbor. And Eden Dranger tweeted, don't mean to get political, but big shout out to farts that sound like questions.
Oh, yeah.
Those are always a good time. Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
Just some, you know, like new jazz music from Kareem Riggins, who's like one of my favorite producers and drummers. You know, he's like worked with people like Jay Dilla. You know, like he's kind of in that realm, and his drumming is fantastic. This track is called 12s in 8. A little reference, I believe, to the time signature of the song. But yeah, it's great drumming, great melodies, and easy, easy listening. No lyrics. Just put it on and enjoy. Kareem Riggins, 12s in 8.
All right. We will link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to y'all then.
Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.